331274, how are you today, Dave?
I'm doing fantastic. I just got done with my last damn doctor's appointment before I go back to work on Monday.
Congratulations. I'm glad you're cleared to go back to making Benjamins.
Yeah, you and me both. Staying home and healing doesn't pay very well.
Yeah, I've been encountering that with the stuff I've been dealing with. I've missed quite a bit of work, and I'm like, you know, I'd rather be out making money than laying here. And, you know, of course I want to get better, but I don't want to, like, lay there and not make money.
You're preaching to the choir, sweetheart.
Well, hopefully you'll be plenty busy, and they'll keep you rolling and making money the rest of the summer.
Oh, yeah, they're trying to get me back to work as soon as possible, so I am happy to accommodate.
Good. I need somebody to get mad at and honk the horn at and tell to hurry up.
Oh, yeah, you know we love that. But my favorite is when we've been on the same road for a week and somebody rolls up and says, I gotta go, I'm gonna be late for work. My standard answer is, so when did lack of planning on your part become an emergency on my part?
Yeah, people crack me up. Some of the stuff I've heard people say, especially in the industry I'm in, I'm just like, no, in your head, that makes sense.
Yeah, I had a guy roll up with his wife in his car, pulls up a cheap handy-talkie, I mean, not even like a good ham radio, and says, I'm a Josephine County Sheriff, and I've got a call right up here, and I've got to go right now. So I switched over to JoCo, and I went, call it in, buddy.
Yeah, people like that crack me up. Back when I was still at the dealership life, I had a lady bring her truck in on a tow truck, and the tow truck driver came in shaking his head, and he goes, I'm just going to tell you before this lady walks in the door that she's absolutely crazy. Let me reset really fast. So the lady walks in the dealership, and I'm looking at her, and I'm like, so what's going on with your car? Well, she goes, well, my phone won't connect to the Bluetooth, and this is an emergency, and so I need to get it fixed. And I'm like, you had your truck towed to the dealership because your phone won't connect to the radio Bluetooth? And she's like, well, yeah, because it came in on a tow truck. You guys are going to work on it right now, right?
Yeah, now that's logical, right?
Somehow in her head, because her vehicle came in on a tow truck, we were going to drop everything to fix it. I had never laughed so hard, and she was very upset with me because I was just like, yeah, we're booked like 2 weeks out. I'll get it on the schedule. She's like, well, I had it towed here. And I'm like, well, that's a personal problem.
Yeah, from back in my mechanic days, my favorite ones were the ones that came in on a tow truck, and they didn't want to put any money into it, so you just patch it together just enough to get it running so they can drive it home, and they come back 2 minutes after they pull out and say, well, it's running better than this one. I brought it here.
Yep, there's always those people that are trying to penny pinch. YouTube University people are the ones that crack me up now, too. I've dealt with plenty of YouTube mechanics that just absolutely makes me laugh.
I find YouTube to be a pretty good resource to get an idea of what I'm actually getting into before I actually get into it.
Don't get me wrong, there are some good resources on YouTube, but when somebody watches a 5 or 10 minute video and they think that a 12-hour job takes, you know, 10 minutes because they watched a YouTube video and they can't understand why it costs so much or what's taking so long, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, anymore, I mean, at least with the BT shitbox I'm driving, I use the YouTube videos to decide whether I'm actually going to deal with it myself or if I'm going to take it to a mechanic and let them deal with it because I don't want to.
Yeah, you know, I always took pride in working on my own vehicles, but as of the first of this year, I've been paying people to work on it because I can't physically do it. I mean, I can physically do it, but it usually ends up in an ambulance ride, so I'm in a hard pass on doing any physical labor on a car.
Yeah, on my Jeep or on my service truck, I prefer to do the work myself, and I just ordered a new motor for my Jeep. I won't be ready until the middle of August, but it's worth the wait because it's not just the Jeep engine. It's a Chad Golan built 4.6 stroker.
Nice. I've seen a couple of Jeeps put together like that, and those things scream. They've got lots of power.
Yeah, this is a 99 Grand Cherokee, and it's got a rod knocked hard. So it's been parked for a while, and I really miss my Jeep. I'm going to be really happy to get it back. It's not going to hurt my feelings to have 270 horsepower and 300 foot-pounds of torque either.
Yeah, eventually they start knocking like a headboard on prom night, and you got to fix them. So glad you got a good motor to go in there. I've got an opportunity to pick up an 89 Wrangler with a manual, and I'm super tempted to buy it, but I'm like, do I really need this thing?
Okay, Jeeps in general, like Wranglers, are not necessarily something you buy because you need it. You buy them because you want it. I've got a 48 Willys that's due for another restoration. It's sitting out in the back waiting for my son to grow an interest in it, and then we'll do it as a family project and kick it after I'm gone.
Oh, I know, they're definitely a purchase of want and not of need. The only thing I could justify it for would be like wintertime driving in the snow because I don't want to spend the fuel in my big diesel truck. So I'm like, you know, but I can't justify that just yet. But it's not going anywhere. It's sitting at a shop that I go to, and I asked the guy about it one day, and I said, what's with that Jeep sitting out back with flat tires? And he's like, you know, I bought that thing. He's like, I put a new engine in it. I fixed it all up for my kid, and my kid wants nothing to do with it. So it's just been sitting there. He's like, all you got to do is put air in the tires, and you can drive it home right now. He says it runs great, and I can get it for a smoking deal. So I'm tempted, but I'm like, I'm not totally sold yet.
Well, you just gave me all the reason in the world that you really need that Jeep. I mean, wintertime is coming, and, you know, a big old diesel truck does not get the gas mileage of a little Jeep Wrangler.
You're right, it doesn't get the gas mileage because it doesn't use gas.
Okay, it doesn't get the fuel economy.
I figured you'd catch the humor there. People all the time are like, hey, what are the gas prices up there? I'm like, I don't know. I can tell you how much diesel is, but I don't know about gas. I never look at it. All my cars are diesel.
Yeah, before the war on petroleum, diesel used to be cheaper than gas, and now diesel is quite a bit more than gas. And that really sucks because diesel is what moves everything that we buy, comes on something that runs on diesel fuel.
Yep, I remember back in the day, you know, because diesel is basically just a waste product. I remember back in the day it was super cheap. The last time I was in Seattle, I have a 100-gallon slip tank in the truck bed, and I've got a 42-gallon onboard tank, so I hold 142 gallons of fuel. And the last time I filled it up in Seattle, it was like $840-some-odd.
Ouch! That made my butt pucker just thinking about it.
All part of owning a big truck. The last time I filled it up here was a couple weeks ago, and it was like 300 and some change.
And I thought I had it rough dumping $60 worth of gas in my little shit box before I headed to Grand Pass.
You wouldn't want to know what I spend a year in fuel for my little car. And I have my little diesel Beetle, which I drive everywhere. I've always driven the TDIs when I've been doing what I do. But driving 6,000 miles a month adds up. And I spend an average of $13,000 to $15,000 a year on fuel.
Yay, that's not far below what a lot of people actually make in a year.
Yeah, it's expensive, but it's worth it, you know, and I just figured into the cost of doing business. That's basically what it is, and my accountant, the first time I handed him the numbers, he was, like, looking at me like, really? And I was like, there's every receipt for it. Like, I don't know. Like,
well, yeah, when I was doing gates, I was driving out to the coast a lot. You know, I figured gas in as part of the deal because unlike the guy that I worked for before I took over the company, I wouldn't go get a hotel room on the coast for 3 days to put in a gate. I would go out there and, you know, I'd leave before dawn and I'd work until dark. And then I would get up the next day and go do it again. But I would not rent a frickin' hotel room for 3 days and leave my family and my dog and everything else for 3 days while I was out on the coast installing a gate. It just wasn't worth it to me.
Yeah, see, I do business trips, and when I have to stay overnight, I stay at the Marriott, and I've had somebody ask me why I stay at such a high-end hotel, and I'm like, because it's a tax write-off. Like, I don't pay for it. It's a business expense.
Well, yeah, and with a business expense, you know, I mean, why go cheap when you can actually enjoy your stay?
Yeah, well, and since I'm self-employed, I you know, it's not like I have to get permission from the boss. I'm like, hey, I'm going to stay at a nice hotel tonight, and I'm going to eat, like, a ribeye steak, and it's just part of traveling for work.
Yeah, back in the 80s, when I traveled with a rock band, I think we stayed at pretty much every cheap motel from coast to freaking coast. I don't think we missed a single one. And so, yeah, if I'm going to get a hotel room, I'm not getting one like we had back in the day. I'm going somewhere where I can actually stay instead of my pillow.
Yeah, I don't want to get bed bugs or something because I'm staying in a hotel, so no Motel 6 for me. They can leave the light on for someone else.
Yeah, I copy that. Leave the light on and all that's going to do is drive up their prices because I ain't staying there. In Vegas, I don't know about other places, but in Vegas, the Motel 6, those are straight up tweaker places, and I won't even drive through the parking lot of one.
That's what I told my dad when he asked me why I stayed in nice hotels and why I didn't get cheap hotels when I travel for work. I was like, yeah, no thanks. I'm not trying to stay in a tweaker shack.
Yeah, and the worst of it is, if they spill it on the floor and you actually step in it, or if they were cooking it in the room, it can really mess you up.
Yeah, I got enough health issues. I don't need to add anybody else's drugs to it to help with that.
Yeah, I copy that loud and clear. Yeah, I've got plenty of issues of my own without adding any extras. I mean, just my THC concentrates that I smoke at night to let me sleep is probably more chemicals than I should be putting in my body beyond what the doctors already prescribed me.
Everything has its use. Some people it's good for, some people it's not, you know. We got to do what we got to do as we get older. Also, I'm coming through the gap, so I don't know what kind of sound signal I've got here. What does my audio quality sound like?
Just a giant little bit of crackle in the background. I'm just leaving Selma right now myself, but your audio quality is solid and strong. Just a little bit of crackle in the background.
Okay, I'm not far behind you then. I'm using a new antenna, well, somebody else's antenna, but they're letting me try it out. So I'm still not able to open North Valley from my house or from Cape Junction, though.
Yeah, I'm not having a problem with this little radio you hitting North Valley, sitting in my driveway. Because I have a brand new Ranger radio headed towards my car.
Hey, I'm Liz and you, WRTQ 274 for station ID. If you can hear me, I'm going to switch over to the IV550 repeater.
Copy that. CR331.